Okay. Okay, and this is in Acts chapter 10. All right. Now, we know about this guy, Cornelius, that was sent to Peter by an angel at Simon the Tanner's house. And when they had gotten there along the road to Joppa, Cornelius and his party coming to see Peter, as the angel told him to go see him, it tells us in verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man, who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. All right, that's where we're going to stop with the text. I want you to notice something here. When we're trying to understand, now in this room we talk a lot about the figures and meanings of figures. We talk about interpreting. We have to agree with Joseph, where the Pharaoh asked Joseph, "Can you show me the meaning of this dream?" He said, "Interpretations belong to God." Interpretations belong to God. Don't try and figure it out just yourself. Don't go through it and say, "Well, this looks like this," and you know, this is where we get a lot of weird understandings and people reading things in upon the Scripture and people trying to decipher dreams and their meaning and visions and their meaning apart from God. I want you to understand a basic concept here, and we're going to see it expressed in Peter. God will not give you a vision that he doesn't intend for you to understand. You may not understand it right at that moment, but you will understand it. It's God who will reveal it. God will not give you a dream that he doesn't intend for you to understand. Whether it be a vision, whether it be a dream, or whether it be from the Scripture and the figures in Scripture, and the visions that are in Scripture, and the dreams that are in Scripture, God will give the interpretation. The smartest man in the world cannot tell you. A man who understands all kinds of riddles, a man who has a natural ability to understand allegory, is not going to be able to help you. Don't you think that such men existed in Daniel's day and in Joseph's day? People with natural talents to understand language. People with natural talents and learned men. Learned men who knew books, who knew histories, who knew, you know, metaphysical things. sorcerers, enchanters of all kinds, people with natural talents, people with supernatural talents of the devil even a man who has a gift from God to understand cannot tell you unless God reveals it to him. The gift does not operate independent of God. Now, I'm using this teaching tonight. It's designed to show you, one, how to approach the Scripture, how to approach these things, and to understand your dependency upon God. Now, I've noticed here, you know, while we're having these classes, while we're having these teachings as time goes on, that a lot of people are reaching, you know, they're reaching out with their own understanding and trying to fit things in a certain way and in a certain place that makes sense to them. I want you to stop that. Wondering what it means is one thing. Trying to figure it out, give up. When Joseph had a dream, all the wise men and enchanters of Egypt were called when Pharaoh had a dream. And not a one of them could tell him. Not one of them. And we're not just talking about your run-of-the-mill people. We're talking about enchanters, astrologers, and people who know this kind of stuff. People who are into the esoteric things. And they didn't get it. They didn't know. In Daniel's time, when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, all the enchanters and magicians were called, and they didn't know. And you know what? Daniel and Joseph didn't know, even though they were chosen of God. They didn't know. God knew. Nobody but God knew. Revelation comes from God through Jesus Christ now, and not apart from Him. Even in those days of the Old Testament, we're told from Hebrews 1, God spoke in many and various ways, but in these last days, He speaks only through Jesus. So I'm telling you, I don't care how smart you are, what college you went to, how many esoteric classes you took, what you understand about literature, all that's good, all that has a place, but those will not interpret the things of God. Revelation comes by the Spirit, through the Scriptures. It doesn't come through your carnal intellect. It doesn't come through your seminary classes. It doesn't come through how many lexicons you've read or how many dictionaries you have to define the words. It doesn't come like that. It comes by revelation. And one of the ways we can check that it is revelation is it'll match up with other revelation. Amen? So Peter, being an apostle, was wondering about these things when these men came up. God had showed him this vision. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. It tells us in verse 17, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. He was wondering. He was looking. But he didn't know. He didn't understand. He's an apostle. He didn't depend on himself to understand either, did he? He wondered about it. He thought about it. He meditated on it. He prayed about it. But he didn't depend on himself. We've got to quit depending on ourselves in the study of the Scripture. This is why the Scripture must be prayerfully studied. Because God is the only one who has the answers. I want you to notice some things about this. And you're going to see how this vision is interpreted. And how the interpretation was revealed to Peter. You're going to see it. And this is a standard for you to follow in interpretation. to understand. You want to understand the things of Scripture? Remember, there's no formula. But there's some important points to remember. So it tells us when Peter first, let's go back to this vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. I want you to notice an important thing about dreams and visions. It's not just the dream you have to pay attention to. It's what's going on in your life at the time. It's not just the dream that you have to pay attention to. It's what's going on with you at the time. Now, I want you to think about that. You wouldn't think it has anything to do with it, and it does. Look what happened with Peter. He was hungry. He went up on the roof to pray, and it says he was hungry. He wanted something to eat. Notice the form the vision took. He was wanting something to eat, but while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened. All right, what's the first thing you see about heaven being opened? Let's understand what's going on physically. What does it mean that heaven was opened? It tells you the origin of this vision. It come from heaven. Can y'all see that? The origin. Ooh, we're learning something. The origin of this vision come from heaven. Peter was hungry and he fell into a trance and he saw heaven opened in this vision. And something, he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then the voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Eat! Remember, have you ever made the connection reading this before? Peter was hungry. Peter was hungry. Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. Notice how God used what was going on with Peter in that moment to speak to him. Peter was hungry. God used that. Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. And Peter said, "Surely not, Lord, because look at these animals. It's all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. These are all unclean things. Unclean according to the law." And a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." That kind of solidifies it. The things that are in this sheet were unclean, according to the law. This happened. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. And while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent from Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. Now, we know when Peter gets to Cornelius' house, verse 30, 4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3:00 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, "Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send a Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." And then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true. What is he realizing here? He's realizing the meaning of the vision. He's realizing the meaning of the vision, because this man is a Gentile, and Jews were to have nothing to do with Gentiles. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. Who accepts men from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee. Now notice, he's telling them what happened in Israel. But now I know, Peter says, God accepts men of every nation. God accepts men of every nation. Now I know that. How does he know that? Because these men were sent to him. These three men were sent to him. And God gave him a vision about unclean things. These men were considered unclean. Cornelius was considered unclean. So now I know that God doesn't show favoritism. He knows it by the vision. And he starts to tell them, but accepts every man, men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. And you know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And we're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Notice how he keeps talking about what was done in Judea, what was done in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem, what was done in Israel, as opposed to men of every nation. I want you to remember that point. It's going to be important. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up from the dead, and on the third day he caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is one whom God appointed as judge of the living and of the dead. And all the prophets testify about him. But everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now you notice he says, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Do you think there's a connection here with the fact that Peter was hungry? And that God told him in this vision, rise, Peter, kill and eat? There is. There's a reason that Peter says right here, by those of us who ate and drank with him. They had fellowship with one another. In eating and drinking with each other is to take each other in. Isn't it? Isn't it? It's to commune with one another, eating and drinking. And eating concerns the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. You must eat of my body and drink of my blood. We are the ones who ate and drank with him. And now we've come to eat and drink with you. That's what Peter's telling him. We're the ones who ate and drank with him. We have partaken of him. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. We have partaken of him. We ate of his body, and we drank of his blood. We ate and drank together. We were one. And now we come to be one with you. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. He commanded us to preach the gospel to the people, and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And while Peter was still speaking the words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water So they receive the Holy Spirit just as we have. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with him for a few days. You know, now let's go back to that. I'm telling you about all that went on in Nazareth, I mean with Jesus of Nazareth, in Judea, in Jerusalem, in the country of our people, in the country of the Jews. I'm telling you all that, but now I know that God respects all men who serve Him from all nations. You know, Cornelius wasn't from all nations. How did Peter know that? How did he know it just wasn't Cornelius in his household? I know now God doesn't show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear Him. Every nation. How did he know that? How did he know it wasn't just Cornelius? Because he's seen the sheet. And these animals were a representation of many nations. There were reptiles there. There were birds there. There were four-footed animals there. There was more than one. There were all of them. All the nations that God had told them unclean and be you separate from. Peter, you shall not call unclean what God has purified. Peter, you shall not call unclean anything impure that God has made clean. Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. Don't call them impure. The blood of my Son has cleansed them. Not just you in Jerusalem, but all nations. Rise, Peter. Kill and eat. No, I'm not going to eat with Gentiles. They're unclean. You'll not call unclean anything that I have made clean. Peter got the vision. God revealed it to him by calling him to these Gentiles, what the vision meant. The Gentiles showing up right there on his door. Three of them. How many times did he see this vision? Three times. Three of them. What did Cornelius tell him? 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3:00 p.m. Three. There's a pattern here. And it can only be revealed by God. And there's more here that I can't tell you. There's more here that I'm not permitted to tell you. But you can have it just the same. Because you know God. Because He's the revealer. Not me. Not any man. Not any man. Only God has the power to interpret. Because He's the one who wrote it. He's the one who sends it. But you can see how these things are just not willy-nilly applied. Well, I think this means this, and I think this means this. It has to become obvious. Their fulfillment becomes obvious. And you know what? What's ever recorded in Scripture is backed up with Scripture, just as this is. You notice how it doesn't tell you the meaning of the dream, ever. People have used this to think, well, it just, you know, now unclean animals are clean. You know, we can eat anything. We're not under the law, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what God was telling Peter. He was talking about men of all nations, wasn't he? That Jesus' blood was enough to cleanse them all. Can you see that? Does the Holy Spirit, what I've told you today, does He back that up to your heart? Or is it just words? If it's just words, you didn't hear. But do you hear? See, it's not nearly as important as what I've said today as what you've heard. You want to understand? Apply your heart to God, because He's the revealer, not man. It was true with Peter. It was true with Joseph. It was true with Daniel. And it's true with every man of Scripture. And it's true with us. All revelation comes through Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, through the Scriptures. Don't just read it like a story. Don't just apply what you think. Allow God to show you, to lead you. And if it takes a teacher sometimes, fine. Fine. But you make sure that it's the Spirit you hear behind it. Do you know God's voice when you hear it? This is so important to understand. Not just this passage, the way that we approach understanding. Because it's not just the understanding we're looking for. You got to look for God first. Because it all, just like that sheet was opened up from heaven and let down from heaven, the revelation of that came from God. That sheet is the revelation. That's what it's a picture of. The revelation from God that Jesus' blood has cleansed all nations. This is all about our dependency upon God. But you notice how reading it carefully, physically, and prayerfully will give you clues that a lot of people skip over. Those things are written in that way for a purpose, to get your attention. That's the final thing I want to tell you. It didn't tell us it was 3 p.m. for no reason. It didn't tell us 3 men came to get Peter for no reason. It didn't tell us the sheet was let down 3 times for no reason. Let everything be established out of the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses. That's what it means. And as Peter was showing the vision 3 times, there were 3 witnesses there. It happened at 3 p.m. Peter saw the sheet 3 times, and there were 3 men. There were 3 witnesses to Peter that it was from God, that God had revealed it. Peter knew that because he knew the pattern. He'd walked with Jesus. Let everything be established out of the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses. There's a reason it told you Peter was hungry. And that he fell into a trance while the meal was being prepared. There's a reason for all these things. They're not just mentioned for no reason. They're not just gaps in the story. They're not just background for the story. There's a reason. They're hooks. They're hooks. Designed to get you to pay attention. God put them in the Scripture, not men. He used men, but God put them there. I hope this is helpful. I really do.